We're going to take the next two sections to do as much as is possible with the Passion narrative, which is quite long. But I have to introduce it. The Passion narrative does not begin with the betrayal of Judas, which is where they begin. They have to start someplace. But the verses which proceed, the seven or so verses which repeat, you see, it starts off, this is a conspiracy in the first verses of chapter 26, the Jerusalem Bible. Jesus had now finished all he wanted to say, the whole gospel. He's finished now. Done all the teaching he wanted to do. He told his disciples, it will be Passover, as you know, in 2 days. And the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. He tells them. Then the next part is the conspiracy. The chief priests and elders assembled in the palace of the high priest, Caiaphas, and made plans to arrest Jesus by some trick and have him put to death. But it must not be during the Sabbath, the Passover. The crowds around, turned out it was at Passover. Okay. Then comes this anointing. You know the story. The woman comes with an alabaster jar of the most expensive ointment, poured it out on his head, in the text, except for John, because she's anointing him Messiah. Mashiach means anointed one. He's being anointed king. And she takes the best perfumed oil she's got, and she pours it out. So the other guys are saying, what are you wasting it like that for on him? Man, you could do a lot with that, you know? You could sell it to the poor. You could bless with it. And Jesus answers. This will be an interesting translation. You have the poor with you always, which is an allusion to a text in Deuteronomy. One of these times, we're just going to go back and look at, you can't understand this New Testament without hearing the echoes of the Old Testament. It's a promise. Deuteronomy 13, there'll come a time there will be no more poor among you. But not now. When she poured this ointment on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you, wherever in the whole world this good news is proclaimed, what she has done will be told also in remembrance of her. So there's a rebuke, right? Now we know from the other traditions who was most insulted by that rebuke. Matthew here is very delicate. He won't be so delicate when he gets to the Last Supper. But here, then one of the 12 went out. One of the 12. Our Lord has spent 3 years forming them, being friends with them, walking with them, encouraging them. One of them went out. The one called Judas Iscariot. And he went to the high priest. And he said, what are you willing to give me? And I will hand him over to you. And this begins this classic word, parodidome, which means to hand over. Judas hands Christ over to Pilate. The Jews hand him over to Pilate. Pilate hands him over to death. And in John's Gospel, he hands over the Spirit. But then you see we have a text. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and handed himself over for me. So paradidome, paradidus, all these words, they all allude to the initiation of the passion process. So, what will you give me? And I will hand him over. And they agreed to give 30 shekels of silver. Again, starting to allude. There are many allusions to a certain group of chapters in the prophecy of Zechariah. This one, 11:12. I said to them, if it seems good to you, give me my wages, but if not, let it go. And they counted out my wages, 30 pieces of silver. It's also going to be the price for a slave. It's not very much. Okay. But enough to win him. Okay. And after that, he looked for the right time to hand him over. So, the first day of Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Pascha?" And he said, "Go into the city and go to the owner and say, the owner says to you, my time is close, o kairos." You know, in Greek, that word kairos means the right time. You know, it's a very specific word. The right time has come for me to eat the Passover with you. Now, if we had time for some speculations, and we don't, so I'm going to move on. The man next, the host, always was next to the guest of honor. So who was leaning on his breast? That one. Is the beloved disciple the owner of this house? There's books written on this. When you get to heaven, look around and ask, and you'll find out. Because I'm not sure we're going to solve it in this life. Anyway, and so they went. That night, he had supper. He was reclining with the 12. And as they were eating, he said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will hand me over." Just think. Think what his heart must have been like, you know? The pain already? And now he's getting ready to die? And it's because one of his own hands him over. Man, if we're baptized, if we're called to any ministry, lay or clerical, don't hand him over. Okay. So they all began to be very sad and said, "Is it I, Kyrios? Is it I, Lord?" And he answers, "The one dipping his hand in the dish with me, that's the one who will hand me over." That means the one eating with me, because everybody dips in the dish. In a medieval meal, it's a great big mountain of rice and lamb, and you have this bread that's so thin that Western guests put it on their lap, they think it's a napkin. And you eat with that. So, see, one dipping his hand in the dish with me. The Son of Man goes as it has been written of him. That's all he's been teaching them for 3 years, right? About this Son of Man. But way to the man of, woe to the man in English, in whom the Son of Man is handed over. Better for him if he had not been born, that one. Judas says, Judas, the one who hands him over, says, "Is it I, Rabbi?" All the others said, "Is it I, Lord?" "Is it I, Rabbi?" Matthew will not let this man call him Lord, because he doesn't recognize him as Lord. And Jesus says, "You've said it." So then as they were eating, you see, he picked up the bread. Actually, it's the bread of affliction. "You shall not eat leavened bread. For 7 days you must eat only unleavened bread, the bread of affliction." So he picks up the bread of affliction, you see, and broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take." Try to think of the earnestness, the generosity, the total nothing held back. "Take, eat. I'm giving you my body." You see, it's not take, eat. It's take it. Eat it. Take it into yourself. Take it. Drink it. This is powerful. Here, I'm giving you myself. You can eat and drink me. And this blood is the blood of the new covenant. Blood of the old covenant in Exodus 24:8. "Behold the blood of the covenant." Now the blood of the new covenant. This is the new covenant that Jeremiah prophesied, right? And it'll be poured out for many. Big problem, even when we get to the new liturgy, I don't know how they're going to translate that. They asked a bunch of us, is it for all, is it for many? The Aramaic phrase, or Hebrew phrase, harabim, means for the many. So it can be for you if you want to be one of the many. That is the community. Join the community, this blood is poured out for you. So it's not, it's for all and for the many at the same time. Because the many is not a holiness club. It's the church, open to everybody. Okay. Then I won't drink this again until I drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father. That's an allusion to Isaiah 25:6, but I'm going to skip it for now. And then Jesus starts. All of you will be tripped up tonight. You'll all be scandalized. Scandal is something you trip over. It is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. This is also a text from Zechariah. It's amazing how much of Deutero-Zechariah forms the key words to understand the passion. Ponder these words. See the plan of God. Enter into it. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a share in the sufferings of Christ. Okay? So I strike the shepherd and the sheep are scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you in Galilee. And then Peter makes his speech. He says, they're all scandalized, I won't be. And the Lord says, you're going to deny me. Not me. I'm not going to deny you. Yes, you are. And so then Jesus comes. I'm skipping because I can only make certain comments on this huge text. I've already taken more time than I should have on the early ones. He says, place got shemen, the oil press, Gethsemane. He says to them, sit here. Then he takes Peter, James, and John, his close friends. And he says to them, see, look, my soul is sad. No, put it this way. He began to be sad and adimonin. One meaning for that word is disoriented. Understand? He's out of home. He's out of place. He's disoriented. Think of the real human sufferings of the Son of God for us. And he said, now my soul is sorrowful unto death, which is an allusion to Psalm 42. Stay here, and gregorite, and watch with me. Stay awake. These are the leaders. Then taking the three aside, he goes and he fell on his face, praying. I don't know whether we hear it so often. Can you see the Son of God falling flat on his face? He told a friend of mine in a vision, when I saw what was going to happen to me when I was in the garden, I was filled with revulsion. This is real. See, this is real. And this is where the holiness that he's calling us to today, this new holiness, is to share in that for the sake of the world and the church, which desperately needs it. Okay? Then, I'm skipping again. Father, idina ton estin, if it's possible, let this chalice, which is an Old Testament symbol for this lot and this chalice of wrath, see, but not what I want, but what you want. So he has a human will along with a divine will. And so we have this magnificent praise. This is how salvation enters into the whole human race through the man, Jesus Christ. And so he says, this quote from Maximus, we are saved by the human decision of a divine person. Amen.